हरे गोपी चन बाला बागिरवारे हरे यशोर नंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोर नंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीर वनता हरे यमुना तीर वनता हरे जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारे जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारे
Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parabraja Kachara Sutera Sutta Shishi Ms. Divine Grace A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj Shri Prabhupada Ki Nantako Devaishnavin Niki Jai Namachara Chagari Das Thakur Ki Jai Prem Sega Ho Shri Krishna Taitan Bhaguna Chananda Tri Advaita Gara Harshvasi Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Gaur Premananda All glories to some of the devotees All glories to some of the devotees All glories to some of the devotees All glories to Shri Guru and Shri Granda Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya We're reading today from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 5, Text 30, Narada's Instructions on Srimad Bhagavatam.
Jnanam gyatamam yatat sakshad bhagavato ditam anavochan gamishyanta kripaya dinavatsala.
Word for word, jnanam, knowledge.
What
30, 1530. Jnanam, knowledge, yatamam, most confidential, yat, what is, tat, that, sakshat, directly, Bhagavat Uditam, propounded by the Lord Himself, and Anvavochan gave instruction, Gamishyanta, while departing from, Kripaya, by causeless mercy, Dinavatsala, those who are very kind to the poor and meek. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. As they were leaving, those Bhaktivedantas, who are very kind to the poor-hearted souls, instructed me in that most confidential subject, which is instructed by the Personality of Godhead Himself. Report. A pure Vedantist, or a Bhaktivedanta, instructs followers exactly according to the instructions of the Lord Himself. The Personality of Godhead, both in the Bhagavad Gita and in all other scriptures, has definitely instructed men to follow the Lord only. The Lord is the creator, maintainer, and annihilator of everything. The whole manifested creation is existing by His will, and by His will, when the whole show is finished, He will remain in His eternal abode with all of His paraphernalia. Before the creation, He was there in the eternal abode, and after the annihilation, He will continue to remain. He is not, therefore, one of the created beings. He is transcendental. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that long, long before the instruction was imparted to Arjuna, the same was instructed to the sun god, and in course of time, that same instruction, being wrongly handled and being broken, was again instructed to Arjuna because he was the perfect devotee and friend. Therefore, the instruction of the Lord can be understood by the devotees only and no one else. The impersonalist, who has no idea of the transcendental form of the Lord, cannot understand this most confidential message of the Lord. The expression, most confidential, is significant here because knowledge of devotional service is far, far above knowledge of impersonal Brahman. Jnanam means ordinary knowledge or any branch of knowledge. This knowledge develops up to the knowledge of impersonal Brahman. Above this, when it is partially mixed with devotion, such knowledge develops to knowledge of Paramatma, or the all-pervading Godhead. This is more confidential. But when the knowledge is turned into pure devotional service, and the confidential part of transcendental knowledge is attained, it is called most confidential knowledge. This most confidential knowledge was imparted by the Lord to Brahma, Arjuna, Uddhava, etc. Om Gyanatam Randisha Gananjana Salakaya Chaksuni Tamina Tasma Sri Gurave Namaha Vancha Kalpa Trivishcha Kripasinu Devacha Paditano Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. So we offer obeisances to all the assembled devotees as well as all the devotees assembled in our internet audience and in many, many places throughout the country and throughout the world. We know many devotees are listening to not only this broadcast, but broadcasts all over, to the chanting of the holy name and the different kirtans that are going on and melas. So it's a very, very wonderful opportunity to continue to hear Krishna consciousness, to hear and to chant, even though we are physically separated by some distance. Of course, I was thinking about, as far as the idea of separation, you know, Prabhupada often would talk about his relationship with his guru, and he said, I am never separated from my spiritual master, even though his spiritual master departed. He said, we are always together. And Prabhupada said, we would always be together in the spiritual world. So there is no time and place separation. We simply have to stay spiritually connected somehow or another. Okay. Very, very nice verse and purport of some very important points and some important words in the Sanskrit that we'll go over a few of those. But particularly looking at what Prabhupada was emphasizing in the purport, main points here that I got out of this at least is that first of all, spiritual knowledge comes directly from Krishna. He is the source of all knowledge. And then Prabhupada talks about the nature of confidential knowledge, more confidential, most confidential, a little bit about the qualifications to receive that confidential knowledge, giving an example of Arjuna, and then we'll talk a little bit about the process to receive and to understand that confidential knowledge. So first of all, the idea is that all knowledge is coming directly from the Lord, and particularly knowledge of spiritual life. In this verse, the word sakshad bhagavatoditam is used, which means sakshad means directly, bhagavatoditam, from Bhagavan, from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then Srila Prabhupada explains in this purport, I was reading through it, and when he sort of trying to figure where he was going with it, and then I finally realized what Srila Prabhupada is doing is first explaining why we should receive knowledge only from God himself. There might be many sources of knowledge, so why do we want to hear directly from God? Well, Prabhupada explains. He is the Supreme Person. Krishna is the creator. He is the maintainer. He is the annihilator. He is eternally existing. He is here before creation, during creation, after creation. So he is the person who knows everything. Therefore, he is the source of knowledge. He is knowledge. Where this verse reminded me of one of the Chatur Shlokas from Srimad Bhagavatam 2.9.33, Hung Evasham Evagre Namyajat Sarasattvaram Pascharaham Yade Tachcha Yovisheta Sosmiham. Brahma, it is I, the Personality of Godhead, who was existing before the creation when there was nothing but myself. Nor was there the material nature, the cause of this creation. That which you see now is also I, the Personality of Godhead. And after annihilation, what remains will also be I, the Personality of Godhead. So we understand from the Srimad Bhagavatam that everything is coming from Krishna, and nothing is different from Krishna. It does not mean that everything is one, because Krishna has a variety of energies. But still, the transcendentalist sees that nothing is really separate from Krishna. In fact, it is described that if we see something different from Krishna, that is what illusion is. And the next verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, after that one, 30, after 34, says, O Brahma, whatever appears to be of any value, if it is without relation to me, has no reality. Notice my illusory energy, that reflection which appears to be in darkness. So, of course, we could talk forever about these verses, and Prabhupada spent many, many pages of purports, but basically the essence is everything should be seen in relationship with Krishna, and if anything that we're looking at does not have relationship with Krishna, or at least in our vision, it doesn't have relationship with Krishna, that is illusion. It is Maya to think that something is outside of Krishna, beyond Krishna, or different from Krishna. And knowledge is to understand everything in relationship with Krishna. So this confidential knowledge of the Srimad Bhagavatam is coming from Krishna. It is about Krishna, about the personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. And the knowledge that is given to Narada Muni by the Bhaktivedantas, by the great sages, was exactly that same knowledge as if given directly from Krishna. Because this is how Krishna reveals himself, through the parampara system. Krishna speaks, as Prabhupada says here, to Arjuna, to Uddhava, to Brahma. He personally transmits spiritual knowledge, and those great devotees, those pure devotees of Krishna, continue to transmit that knowledge to others. The Svetashvatara Upanishad 6.23 is a verse Prabhupada quoted many times in his books, only unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master are all the imports of Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. So we saw in the previous verses how Narada Muni was so receptive to the words and also had such a wonderful service attitude towards the words of the Bhaktivedantas who were visiting while his mother was serving them. And therefore, this knowledge was imparted to him. And it's described that as they were leaving, they gave the most confidential knowledge to Narada Muni. So Narada Muni was blessed with the most confidential knowledge from these great souls. So, what is that confidential knowledge? It's called Jnanam Guhyatamam in this verse. Knowledge that is confidential. And that confidential knowledge is described in Bhagavad Gita, many places. I was looking today and I saw at least five or six verses where Krishna directly uses the word guhyam or guhyatama, particularly a couple times in the 9th chapter and then again in the 18th chapter as well, talks about this most confidential knowledge, secret of all secrets, one who imparts this confidential knowledge is the most dear to him. And particularly in the 9th chapter, verse 1 and 2, it's used. But then there's another interesting place in the Bhagavatam, a couple chapters earlier than where we are now, 1 through 29, where Krishna says, whoever carefully recites, I'm sorry, Krishna doesn't say this, I guess it's, who would it be at this point? Sutta Goswami. Whoever carefully recites the mysterious appearances of the Lord with devotion in the morning and evening gets relief from all miseries of life. So here the word mysterious appearances is used. And Prabhupada says, this is the purport, Prabhupada says, therefore the birth and activities of the Lord as manifested by him for the welfare of the people in general are not ordinary. They are mysterious. And only by those who carefully try to go deep into the matter by spiritual devotion is the mystery discovered. That is how one gets liberation from material bondage. So, Chapter 9 of Bhagavad Gita is called Most Confidential Knowledge. And we know there's a progression of the Bhagavad Gita. And Prabhupada, in the purport to the first verse of the 9th chapter, explains all of this. He says how the second and third chapter describes confidential spiritual knowledge, which begins with I'm not the body. Begins with understanding that of the spirit soul, that the soul is different from the body. Then Prabhupada says after the first 6 chapters, which are sort of the first section, kind of this letting the spiritual groundwork, then the middle 6 chapters begin more confidential knowledge about devotional service. And he says the 7th and 8th chapters are more confidential, and then the 9th chapter is most confidential. Why? Because it culminates in pure devotional service. When we talk about most confidential knowledge, it's almost synonymous with pure devotional service. That's what it means. It doesn't mean anything more or less than that. Well, it means a lot more. We could say so much about this confidential knowledge, but the essence of it, it's pure devotional service. Now, why would that be so confidential? We're saying it, we're talking about it, it's not like some big secret, because hardly anyone understands it. We say it, Krishna says it, you know, the pure devotees, the acharyas say it, but how many people can understand the simple method of love and serve God is our purpose of life? Such a simple message, but yet it remains mysterious to people, and they want to have so many different meanings, and they make spiritual life so complicated, you know, and thus it remains confidential. And of course, the ninth chapter, as it talks about this pure devotional service, culminates the last verse, Manmano Bhavamadakko, always think of me, become my devotee. This is the essence. This is the confidential knowledge that Krishna is revealing to Arjuna. Now, in today's purport, Srila Prabhupada describes these different levels of knowledge. He talks about confidential knowledge and being knowledge of jnana, or impersonal realization. In other words, just as we were saying that in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, the 5th chapter 2, you could get the understanding that you are not the body. The body is different than the soul. That's the beginning. That's confidential knowledge. Understand the essence of spirit as different from matter. But that may only go to the point of impersonal realization. So more confidential knowledge is understanding of Paramatma, understanding how God is everywhere, God is within the heart, understanding the all-pervading, not just the alternating energy, but understanding God is also personally within the heart and within every atom of this creation. And then the most confidential knowledge, Prabhupada said here, is pure devotional service. Or we could say, following this process of impersonal realization to Paramatma, this would be Bhagavan realization. Understanding the personality of God, Krishna. Because after all, what does pure devotional service mean? Service is to a person. How could you have pure devotional service if you do not understand that God was a person? How can you purely serve an energy or something like that? I mean, you might respect it, you might appreciate it, might have some reverence for it, but something impersonal, you're not going to have deep love. You're not going to have bhakti for it. Bhakti, love, is for a person. Even this material world, you know, we say someone loves someone, it's a person. You can say, oh, I love whatever, I love my shoes or something, but that's frivolous. I mean, that's not what, you know, even materials know that real love is for a person. So spiritual love ultimately is for a person. And that is, therefore, the most confidential knowledge. Now, another way of looking at this is, of course, that these things comprise a mixture. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains in his purport to this verse that confidential knowledge is a predominance of jnana mixed with a little bhakti. More confidential knowledge is a predominance of bhakti, but mixed with a little jnana. And most confidential is pure bhakti. And that was what was Krishna gave to Arjuna, Uddhava, and Brahma. Basically, the same thing Srila Prabhupada is saying. Just a little bit different way of wording it. So, confidential knowledge, pure devotional service. That's what we're aiming for. That's what Krishna is revealing to his devotees in the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. But who can receive that? As we were saying, it's there, it's open, anybody can read this. We give these out to everybody on the streets. But how many people can receive confidential knowledge? What's the qualification? Krishna says, Bhagavad Gita 9.1, very clearly. He says, Arjuna, he is giving him this knowledge because what is his quality? Anasuyaveda, that he's non-envious. Because he was non-envious, Anasuyaveda, he's qualified to receive this knowledge. And Srila Prabhupada describes in that purport of 9.1, he talks about the impersonalists, and he talks about different scholarly interpretations of Bhagavad Gita and all the different editions of Bhagavad Gita that are written and all of the different commentaries and why that they're ineffectual. He says these scholarly interpretations are ineffectual because ultimately most of these scholars are envious of Krishna. Now, if you ask them, are you envious of Krishna? They would say, no, I'm not envious of Krishna. But what does it mean? It means they don't want to serve Krishna. If we don't want to serve, we're envious, right? You know, no, I don't want to serve. What does that mean? It means I want to be served. I want to be master. I want to be in that position. I don't want to surrender. Envy is manifested by the unwillingness to surrender. And that is the instruction of Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharmam Pritchaja, Mamikam Shanandaja. Give up all varieties of religion and surrender unto me. So that is the mood that one must have. And Krishna describes very clearly how one goes about this throughout the scriptures. Bhagavad Gita 4:34, Hare Krishna Sevaya, by submissive inquiry and service to the Guru. It's very fairly simple. There's a process that Krishna gives us. He says, surrender to the spiritual master, submissively inquire and render service. And this was exactly what was demonstrated by Narada Muni in serving the Bhaktivedantas. He served them nicely. He took remnants of prasadam from them. He heard from them. He had the proper approach of service, of humility to these great souls, these pure devotees, and therefore he was given confidential knowledge, most confidential knowledge of bhakti, of pure devotional service. And of course, Narada Muni is one of our greatest pure devotees. Of course, he's second in our line from Lord Brahma in our Sampradaya. So we can see the result of such a wonderful devotee and how he received this knowledge. So the interesting thing here again is that we're saying that most confidential knowledge is bhakti, and we're saying, how do we get this? We get it from bhakti. So bhakti is both the means and the end. It's the final result of our spiritual enlightenment, of our pursuit of spiritual knowledge, but it's also the process of spiritual knowledge, the process of getting spiritual enlightenment or spiritual understanding, spiritual realization. It is through bhakti. And that's what Krishna tells us again in Bhagavad Gita. Bhakti omam abhijananti yavanishchasmi tatpataha vitomam tatpatogyatva vishyate tadanantaram. One can understand me as I am, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only by devotional service, bhakti. And when one is in full consciousness of me by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. So 1866, another similar verse at the end of the 11th chapter, that 1152, saying basically the same thing, how it is through the process of pure devotional service one can understand Krishna. He can enter into devotional service, enter into the kingdom of God, and understanding him as I am. That is most confidential knowledge, understanding Krishna as he is. Srila Prabhupada says, actually the purport to 1152, says Krishna is covered by his yogamaya potency. Another reason it says confidential secret knowledge, because Krishna keeps himself covered. He is not to be seen or revealed to anyone and everyone. Only to one to whom he reveals himself can he be seen. This is confirmed in the Vedic literature. For one who is a surrendered soul, the absolute truth can actually be understood. The transcendentalist, by continuous Krishna consciousness and devotional service to Krishna, can have his spiritual eyes opened and can see Krishna by revelation. So this is an important point, that the process of surrender enables us to get the mercy of the spiritual master in Krishna, and by that mercy, Krishna is revealed. It's not a mechanical thing. I chant so many rounds and I do so many things of service, or I, you know, perform whatever, I distribute so many books, then Krishna has to reveal himself. No. By Krishna's mercy, if he becomes pleased with us, then he reveals himself. And therefore, it remains a mystery. He remains confidential. Because someone could intellectually understand everything about Krishna and yet not have Krishna revealed him. We've even seen, there actually Prabhupada talks about different scholars, but I've even seen some of these scholars who, they know all about Krishna, they know about the scriptures. They could probably quote more scriptures than many of us could, but yet they don't really understand Krishna because they're not surrendering to Krishna. So they want to remain a little separate. The surrendering process is evading them, and therefore Krishna is not fully revealing himself. And therefore they're only at the level of jnana. They might have at best at the level of jnana, having some intellectual understanding, or perhaps an understanding that they're spiritual, that I'm not their body, but to actually understand Krishna means that one has to engage in the process of bhakti. So Prabhupada is in his purport that one can have one's spiritual eyes open and see Krishna by revelation. Here's a nice purport for Prabhupada talks about this in the teachings of Lord Kapila. He says, if we are devotees, lovers of God, the ointment of love will clear our eyes. In order to see God, we have to cleanse our eyes by wiping away the cataracts of material contamination. Although we may be eager to see God, we cannot see him with these material eyes. So, we have material eyes, we need spiritual eyes to enter into the confidential understanding of Krishna. How do we purify these eyes to see? How do we get spiritual eyes? Well, Prabhupada says we have to act so that Krishna will see us. Prabhupada says in the purport Bhagavad Gita 10.1, we have to cultivate such practice in Krishna consciousness that we may become dear to God. My spiritual master, he's talking about Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, used to say that, do not try to see God. Act in such a way that God will see you. If I want to see God, then I don't make God as my order supplier. Please come and I will see you. So God is not so small that once I call him and he'll come. No, we have to qualify ourselves. Therefore, by your qualification, God himself will come to see you. So, of course, we'd all would like to see God, I'm sure, and we hope someday that we will. But the way that will happen will not be by us just saying, God, please come and show yourself, but for us to him to see us by our service, by our surrender. So that's what Prabhupada and his spiritual master said. Act in such a way that God will see you. So these topics of confidential knowledge are very important, and they can be easily misunderstood, because people want to be in the know. People want to have the deepest knowledge, the highest knowledge. And particularly if one is involved in any type of spiritual process, you want the best, you want the ultimate. We all do. That's why we chose Krishna consciousness, why we came to this process, because we felt in our hearts this was the highest knowledge. This was the purest knowledge. Srila Prabhupada was the most pure representative of God giving us this knowledge. So there's a tendency to think, I want it all, and I want to jump to the highest levels, advanced levels of devotional service. And particularly because Srila Prabhupada and his mercy gave us understanding of those highest levels, gave us the Krishna book in 1971. We have the 10th canto. We have the pastimes of Krishna and the gopis, the loving relationships, nectar devotion. We have all this information of what these highest levels of the great devotees are experiencing. So there's naturally a tendency for people to want to experience that. But we have to be very careful and not try to artificially assume that position before qualification. So that is why we have the process of sadhana. Sadhana bhakti is regulated practice to come to higher levels of devotional service and to purify ourselves of all the anartas and all of the material contamination which is keeping us from pure devotional service. So within sadhana, regular practice, there are two processes, Vaidhi Bhakti and Raghunuga Bhakti. And Srila Prabhupada explains this in Majjhima Lila 22.109. Prabhupada says, spontaneous service, which is Raghunuga, is not artificial. One simply has to come to that platform by rendering devotional service according to regular principles. Thus one performs the processes of hearing and chanting and follow all the other regular principles by washing the temple, cleansing oneself, rising early in the morning, attending Mangal Arati, and so on. If one does not come to the platform of spontaneous service in the beginning, which is all of us, he must adopt regulative service according to the instruction of the spiritual master. This regulative service is called Vaidhi Bhakti. So this is the process, that one remains on his platform of Vaidhi Bhakti, and then gradually, little by little, one comes to the level of Raganuga Bhakti. Now, Raganuga Bhakti is still within the category of sadhana, and I think sometimes there's a misunderstanding. People think, oh, if I'm at Raganuga Bhakti, then I don't follow rules and regulations. No. It means one is spontaneously attracted to hearing and chanting and serving the deity, you know, out of love and out of, you know, it's in one's heart. But doesn't one mean gives these things up? Because we saw this. We see this in examples of the acharyas. Srila Prabhupada was chanting his rounds. Prabhupada was coming to the temple. Prabhupada was doing all these things. The six Goswamis were, and what's in the one verse? Yeah, what's it called when they did regulated? Yeah, what's the translation of that?
That six Goswamis, they keep count of their chanting.
Regular, right? Regulated chanting on the bees, number of rounds like that. I mean, these are the greatest devotees in the world. These are the Manjari gopis, you know, and they're chanting their rounds. So what to speak of us? Anyway, and of course, the whole thing about coming to higher platforms and understanding one's original relationship with Krishna, one's rasa, certainly something we may strive for, something that we would hope might happen someday, but not artificially. And when one is actually at an advanced position, it's not that one advertises these things. You know, Srila Prabhupada did not discuss his personal relationship with Krishna with us. Of course, we weren't qualified. How could we understand? I don't know whether he ever did with more advanced, you know, God brothers or whatever. I don't know. But as far as we know, it very rarely happened. And speaking with Shruti Kirti, we became pretty good friends when I was working in Hawaii, and where he was staying there, and we were working with the management in Hawaii. And we had a lot of opportunity to, and I always like to, of course, Shruti Kirti was Prabhupada's personal servant for about 3 years. So it's always so nice just to hear all the pastimes. So I'm always just asking him so many things and trying to get so much nectar from him. And he told me once, he said in his 3 years with Srila Prabhupada, and that meant being alone with him at night, massaging him, intimate moments where they're very close together. Prabhupada talked about so many things, but talked about his past, his childhood, many intimate moments. He said maybe one time in 3 years, Srila Prabhupada somewhat vaguely alluded to his rasa, his relationship with Krishna. One time, and not even very distinctly. So Prabhupada didn't talk about these things, you know? That he kept them within himself, within his heart, you know? And that's the idea. It's not that, you know, oh, I become advanced, now I tell everybody I'm a coward boy, I'm a peacock, I'm a whatever, you know? No, this isn't the way it works. One continues to set example, as Srila Prabhupada did, even in the highest stages. Ninarda Bhakti Sutra, Sutra 12, says, one must continue to follow scriptural injunctions even after one is fixed up in determined certainty that devotional service is the only means for reaching the perfection of life. And Srila Prabhupada's purport to that is, says, one who wishes to advance to the platform of Raganuga Bhakti must follow the injunctions of the authoritative scriptures under the direction of the spiritual master. According to Sutra 12, even a person on a highly elevated platform of devotional service must execute the rules and regulations of the scripture. What to speak of persons who are not elevated? In other words, neophytes in devotional service must strictly and scrupulously follow the rules and regulations of the scripture to rise to the platform of unalloyed devotional service. So I think these points are pretty clear. Confidential knowledge really means knowledge of devotional service. And whether we have some other level of higher confidential service, that's an internal thing within the heart of the devotee. Prabhupada explained this also in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya in chapter 23. It said, devotional service with attachment can be executed in two ways, externally and internally. Externally, the devotee strictly follows regular principles beginning with chanting and hearing. Well, internally, he thinks of the attachment which attracts him to the service of the Supreme Lord. Indeed, he always thinks of his special devotional service and attachment. Such attachment does not violate the regular principles of devotional service, and a real devotee adheres to these principles strictly, yet he always thinks of his particular attachment. I was thinking of an example I found kind of amusing. A devotee who was here in Alachua, for a while, he went over to another camp, another group, and he was staying in a temple somewhere not to be named, one of their temples. And he was staying in an ashram with two or three other sannyasis. And he got up at 4 in the morning and thought, okay, now we go to Mangalartik. And he looked around and he saw that they were all sleeping. And later, a couple hours later, when they got up, he said, well, we don't do Mangalartik here? He was just curious. We don't do Mangalartik? They said, oh, no. We're practicing Raganuga Bhakti. You know, we don't follow the rules and regulations. And this devotee was actually a little intelligent. This is what he told me. He said to them, he says, oh, so if I understand it then, if I'm a neophyte devotee, then I get up early in the morning, go to Mangalartik and chant my rounds. But if I'm an advanced devotee, then I just sleep in the morning. And I think they were a little embarrassed. Yes, I mean, it's silliness. And all of these verses are from the scriptures say exactly the opposite. They say how one follows the rules and regulations, one sets example in the most advanced stages of life. So, let's see. Well, anyway, we want to be careful not to try to prematurely place ourselves, you know, in a position which is beyond our realization. That's called sahajiyism. And actually, Jiva Goswami has explained that we can't really serve in our spiritual form, in our spiritual rasa, until we're at least at the stage of bhava. You know, it's not going to happen in our neophyte stages. He says there's two different forms of service, what's called bhava rupa and chaste rupa bhakti. Bhava is the emotional form, chaste rupa bhakti is the active form, where we use our body, our mind, and our words, where the other is in the spirit, in our spiritual body. But he said that doesn't happen until very, very high stages of bhava and prema. So Srila Prabhupada always emphasized activity in Krishna consciousness. Use your body, use your words, use your mind, use everything to serve Krishna. That is pleasing to Krishna. One of my favorite lines of Srila Prabhupada says, the execution of devotional service is not a matter of idle meditation, but practical action in the foreground of spiritual life. Practical action. Right? Anyway, and what's the Bhagavad Gita verse where Krishna says the advanced devotee is not one who lights no fire, or, you know, in other words, saying, oh, I don't do anything, I don't do any of this practice because I'm sannyasa. No. Even Krishna says, you continue to act to serve him. So, Srila Prabhupada didn't describe confidential knowledge. You'll notice in his purport, in his many places, and when Srila Prabhupada talks about confidential knowledge, he doesn't say confidential knowledge means entering into Krishna's pastimes with the gopis. He doesn't say that. He says confidential knowledge is pure devotional service. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakura says most confidential knowledge is unmixed pure devotional service. That's the point. We want to have pure devotional service. It doesn't matter in what way, if it's, you know, cleaning the floor or preaching or whatever it is, or serving the deity or chanting Hare Krishna. We want as purely as possible, and of course we're not pure, but as much as possible, just try to serve Krishna nicely. And that way, and let Krishna see us. So, a little bit more about how we become steady in our attraction for Krishna. Further understanding and qualifications. How do we become qualified to hear these topics of Krishna, these most confidential topics? The Srimad Bhagavatam 10.82 says, O Brahman, how could anyone who knows the essence of life and is disgusted with endeavoring for sense gratification give up the transcendental topics of Lord Uttama Shloka after hearing them repeatedly? So there's two processes that are needed to be steady in attraction to hear about Krishna. So if we want to gain this most confidential knowledge, we first have to hear about it. Right? We have to hear spiritual knowledge, become attracted to it. Then we become more and more eager to perform devotional service. So here it's saying that two processes to be steady. One is to know the essence of life. The word is vishesha jnana. In other words, understand the philosophy. We have to understand this philosophy to be able to continue to want to hear and to serve Krishna. And secondly, it says one must be disgusted with the endeavor for sense gratification. Vishana kama marganai. Interesting. We have to be disgusted with the endeavor for sense gratification. Now, in other words, it's not that we're necessarily free from sense gratification, but we become a little disgusted with the endeavor for it. In other words, why am I working so hard for sense gratification? We have to at least come to this realization. Why am I trying so hard for sense gratification? And I have to know what is the purpose of life. Then if one does these things, it says, then one becomes more and more attracted to the topics of Lord Uddhava Shloka and is able to hear them repeatedly. But it's also said that Krishna Prema will not appear within those who have no faith in Krishna or who offend Krishna's holy name. So we also want to be, as we're chanting, become more and more free of offenses and develop our faith in Krishna. Otherwise, it's going to be very difficult for us to continue to advance in Krishna consciousness. So, Prabhupada always stressed that we needed to begin with the basics, and we need to work our way up to most confidential knowledge. We have to understand completely the philosophy from the first canto onward. So as we can see, we started again on the first canto, and I think many of us are finding, reading these verses one by one very carefully, how wonderful they are. It's what complete essence of all knowledge is right here in the beginning chapter, just Srimad Bhagavatam. It's certainly deep enough for me. I don't think I can get into too much more deeply confidential knowledge than what's being presented in the very first canto of Bhagavatam, what to speak of as we continue onward. So we need to understand the philosophy onward, and then when we get to the 10th canto, the idea is one understands who Krishna is and doesn't have some misunderstandings. And then we can appreciate Krishna's pastimes. And we do. It's not that we're not saying you can't hear Krishna's pastimes or read the 10th canto. Of course not. I mean, Prabhupada used to love to hear Krishna book, and in the very beginning, devotees would read Krishna book. And I remember reading Krishna book at night, drinking hot milk after we came back from Sankirtan. It was a whole regular thing that Prabhupada had us doing, hearing about Krishna's pastimes. Now, on what level do we understand them? Doesn't really matter. We may not deeply understand them. We may not be entering into them, not appreciating that someone like Srila Prabhupada would understand them, but still, some beginning of appreciation is there. Some beginning of attraction is there. Some attachment to Krishna. You know? And we never get tired of it. You can go back and continue reading Krishna book over and over again and find more and more to become attracted to. And the philosophy is also all there. So we need to, as I said, understand the philosophy, understand who Krishna is. Don't overly endeavor for sense gratification. Faith in Krishna and Guru, as Svetashvatara Upanishad tells us, serving the Guru submissively with service attitude and not to commit offenses. In these ways, this practice of bhakti yoga, Krishna reveals himself. And confidential knowledge becomes revealed and realized within the heart of the devotee. Now, we may not have that full vision of Krishna until we're at a very high stage of prema, but the devotee patiently and humbly advances through those stages of bhakti, serving Krishna, and serves not with some grim determination, I have to do this, you know, and hopefully, it's almost like the idea that I have to just do penance until I can go to heaven at the end of this life. No, that's not the way devotional service is performed. In the second verse of the ninth chapter, Confidential Knowledge, 9.2, Krishna says that this service is born susukam, very happily. Prabhupada, his translation is very happily, and then in the verse he translates joyfully performed. Joyfully performed. So Prabhupada would say that this is such a wonderful process, and he actually talks a little bit about it in that purport. He says, you know, we're hearing these wonderful pastimes of Krishna, we're chanting Hare Krishna, enjoying kirtan, we're enjoying prasadam together, association of devotees, joyfully performed. We can be happy in this performance of Krishna consciousness. It's not that it's something that that's miserable, and of course, yeah, sometimes it is a little austerity. A little austerity sometimes is there, a few things we have to give up. But it's a very joyful process, a very happy process, if we take it up in that mood of service. And so in that way, we continue the process of devotional service and little by little become more and more advanced and enter into this most confidential understanding of Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thank you. All glories to Sri Prabhupada. Is there any,
if anyone has a question, you can type it out in the chat room, or you can text me at 352-221-0049-004. I have a question. So, as you are reading the last one, 9-2, it seems like happiness is a component, or happiness is a destiny?
Deva, say it again.
Happiness. You said we have to joyfully perform.
Mm-hmm.
So happiness is a component to do bhakti, or bhakti produce happiness? Or both?
Both, I think, yeah. It is a component of bhakti. And when you think, what does bhakti mean? Love and devotion? Most people think of love as a pretty good thing, right? Love is joyful. Love is happy. People feel good when they feel love. Right? So when we feel a little bit of Krishna's love, our love for Krishna, yes. It makes us happy. And we become more happy as we perform bhakti. Yes. That's a good point. Again, like the means and the end being the same. You know, we do bhakti to get bhakti.
Another point I'm trying to confirm with you that. So what Prabhupada wrote here, material knowledge, ordinary knowledge, that includes material knowledge and it goes all the way up to impersonal Brahman, not above, yeah, or not beyond.
Yeah, you said.
And confidential knowledge means it comes from the bhakti, also it is related to bhakti, both. Because Vasudeva Bhagavati, when one performs bhakti, he gets knowledge, Gyanavairagya comes.
Yeah.
So by performing bhakti, we get knowledge also.
Yes.
With the renunciation.
Yes.
At the same time, to do bhakti, we have to also have a consciousness behind our action, that this is for the pleasure of Krishna. That is also knowledge.
Right.
So I guess both.
Yeah, both are there. Now, I think when Prabhupada and Vishnath, Chakravarti Thakur are talking about jnana mixed with bhakti, I think that they're talking about desire for knowledge for itself, you know, just to appreciate, to enjoy knowledge. I mean, a lot of us are like that, you know, we like feeling like we're intelligent, or we like to learn something, we like to know something. Yeah, I mean, I do, I admit it. I like to learn things and know things, and I feel good about that, I know that. Well, that's a very little spiritual value, actually, unless it's connected to Krishna, is the point. So in other words, that knowledge is, the more and more it relates directly to Krishna, the learning and knowing about Krishna and understanding Krishna more and more deeply, then I think that's a component of bhakti. It's part of bhakti, right? Would you say?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's both.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, how do you defy the modern in the university that the new person, in order to show his real achievement, that he has to defeat the previous writings or something, and he's showing he's better than them.
Yeah, that's just a material process. And I mean, Prabhupada seems to be including it within the process of jnana to some degree, because he says all of this knowledge could be considered jnana, and then the culmination of jnana is impersonal realization. Right? At least understanding the difference between spirit and matter. That's like the highest jnana. But as I understand it, a lot of these words are used differently in different contexts in Sanskrit. You know, words like, you know, jnana could be used differently. And because sometimes Prabhupada talks about jnana and vijnana, knowledge and realized knowledge or applied knowledge. There's different uses of the words, but it seems like the Prabhupada's saying here is that you could think of the word jnana just mean knowledge, any kind of knowledge. And then in a specialized way, we talk about confidential knowledge, as we're talking about here, then we're talking up to the stage of understanding Brahman.
Because I remember in Rupa Goswami Pad's one sloka in Nectar Devotion, he said, Tad bhavati madhurje srute dhira apekshate. Until that incessant love for the Lord arrives, one has to engage the intelligence to guard, to stay focused in bhakti. So application of knowledge is intelligence. So that means to do bhakti, I have to have knowledge. And then I have to apply it. And then I'll be fixed until love of God arrives or appears.
That's nice. Could you repeat that verse from Nectar Devotion again?
Tad bhavati madhurje srute dhira apekshate natra shastram na yuktim tat lobha utpatti lakshanam. Here the word is lobha, the greed. Until the greed arrives.
Greed,
there will be logic, motivation, there has to be, from Shastra, there has to be guidance. The constant intelligence has to guide from motivation, from inspiration, from different angles to stay.
It says intelligence has to guide us until the lobha.
Until that point.
Until that point.
Yeah.
Interesting. That's good. I like that. Thank you.
There's one comment here. Maybe thank you, Prabhuji, for emphasizing service. SB Srimad Bhagavatam 1.6.22. Srila Prabhupada says in purport, therefore, seeing the Lord face to face means being engaged in His service, because His service and His person are identical.
Nice. Yeah, and that's actually another really, there's so many points we could expand upon, and that's a really good one that our person who wrote in just said, if everybody got that. In other words, service to Krishna is identical to Krishna. So it's not that it's like, well, I'm serving Krishna, but I'm not with Krishna or not seeing Krishna. No, you are with Krishna through His service. Good point. Okay, we should stop there. Thank you all so much out there and here. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.